thing all lined up here. Two Sundays ago, of course, last Sunday, Christmas Day, we did not have class. So taking you back to the 18th, we taught basically lesson number 22. It was a rather long one, which was living life wisely involves understanding the pitfalls of youth. Came out of chapter 7, where Solomon looked out the casement of his window one day and he saw among the youths a simple man. And we talked about the pitfalls of youth, realizing the distinguishing characteristics of youth. This young man was simple. Doesn't mean he was retarded or slow mentally. It means that he had a lot of room for influence. That's true about every kid. They're still open to influence. And we said that's good and that's bad. That's good when it comes to the gospel. That's why it's important to get the kids to church, because they don't have the arguments, the logic, the reasons that adults have for not trusting Christ. Kids have a lot of room for influence when it comes to salvation. The downside of that is they have a lot of room for influence when it comes to evil. If they get around the wrong crowd, they can be easily influenced. This young man was simple, so he had a lot of room for influence. Then the Bible says he didn't have any understanding. And remember, that's a different word than the word in chapter 1. It means without courage. He had no heart. He had no fight. He had no will. So that's a dangerous combination. When you've got a young person that has a lot of room for influence and they have no moral courage, they have no heart, no fight, that is a dangerous combination. Anybody they get around is going to influence them, okay? You keep them around good people, they'll be doing okay. You get them around some evil people, they're going to be hurting. And you and I both know you can't put those kids in a box, 24/7. That doesn't work that way, okay? So you got to be careful understanding the pitfalls of youth from the vantage point of the parent, all right? And we gave you 10 things out of chapter 7 that your young people should avoid when it comes to the other gender. Young men should avoid those things and some of those things that showed up in the woman, and the woman should avoid those things that they show up in the man. So gave you 10 things on that. I'm not going to go back over that this morning. Look at verse number 26, chapter 7, lesson number 23. The Bible says about this harlot woman, this woman that was described in earlier parts of the chapter. The Bible says in verse 26, she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Lesson number 23 is this: living life wisely means I understand I am not so strong that I can toy with temptation. I am not so strong that I can toy with temptation. Notice what the Bible says here. Many strong men have been slain by her. All right? Solomon told his son, he said, many strong men have been slain by this temptation. Now, he also said the weak have too. Look at the first part of the verse. For she hath cast down many wounded. Okay? So weak and strong. Weak and strong. Solomon told his son, the strong have been slain by this temptation. Solomon warned his son about this temptation because his son was weak. And hey, if strong men have fallen prey to this temptation, certainly weak ones will as well. So son, you've got to be careful. This kind of temptation knows no partiality. It takes the weak and the strong, the wounded and the strong, takes them down. You see, you got to be careful. Paul warned the Corinthian church about this mentality of thinking I can handle it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. When you start thinking that you can handle it, you're on thin ice. Okay? You're in dangerous ground. And that's what Paul was talking about there. We talked about this on a Wednesday night some weeks ago. Maybe you weren't there. Temptations are best avoided, not conquered. Okay? Not a feather in your hat to conquer a temptation unless you have to. It's a feather in your hat to avoid the temptation. Okay? Avoid it. It's far better to avoid it than to conquer it. Now, there are times when they have to be conquered. And we always, we always give Joseph the benefit of the doubt in that matter there over the book of Genesis, that he conquered that temptation. He left his coat in her hands when she grabbed him and said, lie with me. But boy, the more I read that, I mean, this was not a one-time thing with this woman. this happened and then happened and then happened and then happened and then happened. And it makes you wonder, you know, I wonder if Joseph possibly could have avoided that thing. Maybe his responsibilities put him in her presence. Maybe he couldn't help that. Okay? If that's the case, then they have to be conquered. But it's far wiser to avoid temptation than it is to put yourself in the place of having to conquer it. Why? Because sometimes temptation takes down strong men. So Solomon said, strong men have been taken down. There are times when they have to be conquered. But we are not wise to put ourselves in the place of temptation just to say we conquered it. That's foolish. Okay? We're talking about living life wisely here, not foolishly. Okay? Not getting by, but living above. Now, let me talk from the advantage point of a parent again. Okay? And let me talk specifically about the teen boys that will be in your home someday. All right? Teen boys are not ready for this kind of temptation. You've got to understand that, folks. You've got to be careful with your teenage boys. A couple of pointers to try to remember. Pay attention. Be careful about when and how long you leave a teenage boy alone. Be careful. All right? Be careful about when and how long you leave a teenage boy alone. You just got to be careful. A child left to himself, bringing his mother to shame. Okay? They'll get into trouble. You say, I got a good kid. Well, good kids get into trouble. Yeah, but I got a strong kid. My Bible says that she takes down the strong. Okay? Be careful about when and how long you leave a teenage boy alone. Bless. And you know, again, when they're 4 and 5, you think, well, wait till they're 14, 15, 16. Wait till they take maybe a little job somewhere. And you got to work out schedules. And wife gets home then. You get home then. You know, maybe the other kids have responsibility. Maybe they got a ball game or something. There's some time there. It's a constant thing because Luke has that job at the farm. It's a constant thing with us. You know, how long is he going to be? If he's going to be home alone, how long? Is he going to be home for 10 minutes alone? Or is he going to be home for an hour alone? If he's home for 10 minutes alone, I know he's got to get home and he's got to shower. He's got to shower. Because he comes out of that cow barn, he's got to shower. Amen. There's no two ways about it. He has to shower. So if there's a 10-minute period or 15-minute period, we'll handle it. But if it's an hour, that ain't happening. Okay? Just can't. You say, don't you trust your boy? No. No. No, I don't. And you can't either. Okay? They'll get into trouble. All right. Be careful about letting him stay up after you've gone to bed. You got to be careful about that. Now, I can't say that I'm in bed after my kids every night, the young ones. I'm talking about Luke 16 now. He likes staying up. They stayed up last night and played Monopoly, you know, till the new year came in, I guess. I don't know. I was still fuming over that missionary call. But anyway, oh boy. So, does that happen to your dad, Brother Bragg? I mean, 11 o'clock at night? Unbelievable. I can't believe it. But anyway, where was I? I'm still, you can tell, I'm starting the new year off with a grudge. Amen? So, that's bad, brother, I'll tell you. But anyway, yes, don't let them stay up long after you have gone to bed, boys. Now, one thing about it, I don't have a television hookup right now. So it's a little, and if I had a television hookup, I wouldn't let them stay up. Get them in bed with you. Go to bed. Stay up with them. Go to bed with them, you know, not with them, but at the same time they do, okay? You understand what I'm saying, right? Okay? Okay. Be careful. Teen boys are normally weak. This kind of temptation takes down strong men. Duh. We're dumb, folks. We got a Bible verse that tells us right here the temptation takes down strong men, and we put weak, easily influenced teenage boys in that position. We're nuts. We don't use our heads. We're talking about living life wisely, okay? Living life wisely, okay, means I cannot think I am so strong that I can toy with temptation. My desire ought to be to avoid it. Avoid it, not conquer it. If I'm faced with it, all right, conquer it. And by the way, if I'm faced with it, God has promised that I'll have the strength and ability to conquer it. If I'm faced with it. But what did Jesus teach us to pray? Lord, lead us not into temptation. That's the place of temptation. Avoid it. Don't confront it. Okay? Number 24, we're going into chapter 8 this morning. Here we go. Verse number 6. Chapter 8 is one of the interesting chapters in the book of Proverbs because you've got wisdom personified. Wisdom personified in the person of Jesus Christ, of course. And you read down through here and you're thinking, are they talking about wisdom or are they talking about Jesus? Both. Okay? It's personified in the person of Jesus Christ. All right? Chapter number 8, verse 6. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Here's lesson 24 for you. Living life wisely means I will stay in pursuit of that which is excellent. I'll stay in pursuit of that which is excellent. All right? Wisdom, the Bible says, speaks of excellent things, and the opening of wisdom's lips shall be right things. I will never forget C.W. Fisk, Dr. C.W. Fisk in Bible college 30 years ago now. 29 years ago. I'll never forget him telling, good, better, best, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. I've never forgotten that. You know, think about how many things you hear since you've been saved, how many messages you hear, how many lessons you hear taught, and how a lot of times none of that stuff sticks with you. But that I have never forgotten. Good, better, best, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. You see, the wise person will not settle for that which is just good or better. The wise person will pursue excellence in as many areas of life as possible, and wisdom is the catalyst that will force us, push us, motivate us to pursue excellence. It's an interesting word. The word in its root form, listen to this, means front, captain, commander, noble, or prince. Now listen to those words. Front, captain, commander, noble, or prince. Is it, in other words, true wisdom is exercised. True wisdom motivates me to shoot for the top as far as areas of my character is concerned. I'll pursue excellence in the areas of my character. This being front, being captain, commander, prince, noble, we're not in pursuit of those things for renown, for being famous or popular. We're in pursuit of those things in the area of our character, to increase my character until I reach the excellent level, the excellent category. And wisdom motivates me to do that. True wisdom will not settle for that which is just good. True wisdom will not settle for that which is better. True wisdom motivates me to push, pursue for that which is excellence. Wisdom helps me achieve excellence. True wisdom speaks of those things which make for excellence. Folks, look, the lessons we've, this is number 24, and I should get to 25, we'll be one quarter done. I should probably go back and see when we started this thing. 100 lessons on wisdom out of the book of Proverbs. We're not just teaching these, you know, just to pass time. That's not right. When we look for a topic in Sunday school, it's for something that'll help people. All right? That's the burden of our heart. That's not just a... If we're just passing time, let's just come at 11 o'clock and be done. But Sunday school has long been an opportunity in a concentrated setting, if you will, age-wise, whatever, to help people. These lessons aren't just to fill time. These are lessons that will help us live an excellent life. Living life wisely. Remember what we're talking about here? Living a life that is what? Remember the key word at the very beginning of this thing? Superior. People who are foolish live an inferior life. And we're not talking here about the possession of material goods. And that doesn't determine if you live superior or inferior. Some people have that in their mind. That's how they judge it. My whole existence is inferior because I don't have things. It's not true. You can live a superior life with nothing. If you live wisely, live like, and by the way, you can have all the things in the world and live an inferior life. If you don't believe that, just take a trip around the average development in any city in America. You know, you have $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 homes, and inside there's dysfunctional relationships. They're not living superiorly. Is that a word? Superiorly? It is now. That's right. They're not living a superior life because they got a $600,000 house, In fact, most of the times they're living inferior lives in a $600,000 house. You take which one you want. I'll take a superior life in a modest home. Amen. This is what we're talking about. Wisdom helps you live an excellent life. These lessons, if put to practice, will, because wisdom speaks of excellence. I will speak of excellent things. And by the way, wisdom, you don't have to go searching with a magnifying glass, Sherlock Holmes, in pursuit of wisdom. Look at verse number 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Wisdom's voice speaks openly. It speaks loudly. It speaks boldly. It speaks clearly. God's people can have wisdom. God's people can live wisely. And if you do, you're going to achieve excellence. Excellence. Now, will there always be room for improvement? Sure. Always. But it ought to be my goal to pursue that which is excellent. Paul told the Philippian church, Philippians 1:10, approve things that are excellent. Are you satisfied with good? Are you satisfied with the status quo? That's not living wisely, because wisdom motivates us to live and pursue for that which is excellent. Do not be content to be average or to live according to what the status quo approves. Go beyond. Go to the top. Go out in front. Seek for excellence in your character. Wisdom will get you there. It'll get you there. So that's why we go back to chapter 1. That's why Solomon told his boy, with all thy getting, get wisdom. With everything you've got, get wisdom. Pursue wisdom, because it'll make you live an excellent life, a superior life, okay? In a very moderate or even less than moderate place. With a very moderate or less than moderate income. Driving a very less than moderate car, you can have a very superior life if you live wisely. Amen. I don't know if we believe that or not. I don't know if we really believe that or not. But, buddy, it's true. It is true. I've lived long enough and been saved long enough to see it in action. I mean, some of the most simple people are some of the happiest people. Happy. Because they live wisely. They'll have a lot of stuff, but, boy. I don't mean foolishly. I don't mean happy-go-lucky. I mean they live wisely. All right, let's go to lesson number 25. We're a quarter done if we get this one nailed down this morning. Verses 15 and 16. 15 and 16. By me kings reign. This is wisdom speaking. And princes decree justice. By me princes rule. And nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Here's your lesson number 25. Living life wisely means I realize authority must be accompanied by wisdom. Authority must be accompanied by wisdom. Look at what he said, folks. By me, kings reign. And princes decree justice. Princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. We're talking about people in authority here. Okay? So living life wisely means I realize authority must be accompanied by wisdom. Wisdom is the strength and support of authority. With wisdom comes the ability to govern, to rule, and to counsel. Do you understand why America's in the mess she's in? Because its leadership is in a mess. Our legislature's in a mess. Our judicial system is in a mess. It's in a mess. We're in a mess morally. We're in a mess financially. Tons of areas. One of the reasons is our leadership lacks wisdom. Those that are in authority, they got education, but they don't have any wisdom. They got doctor's degrees from Harvard and Yale, Princeton and Cornell, and all the Ivy League schools, but they don't have any wisdom. They're educated idiots. They're fools. America's an insane asylum run by the inmates, and that's true. Yep. Roloff said that years ago. It's true. Wisdom must accompany authority. It must. It's the leader. It's the blind leading the blind. That's what it is. Now, bringing this down to a more practical arena for us, me and you. Same thing is true. Have you been given some authority in life? You better have some wisdom to accompany that authority. You'll be an idiot without it. You've got to have wisdom to rule, to govern, to lead properly. Without the support of wisdom, your leadership ability is impaired greatly. Every parent needs wisdom to rule and govern their children correctly. Every parent. So if you're a parent in this room, or going to be soon, you need wisdom. You got to have it. Without it, you cannot rear your children properly. It takes unbelievable wisdom. And by the way, you are the authority. You don't be afraid of your children. You don't abuse them, slap them around and kick them, but you are the authority. Don't be afraid to enforce the rules, to make the rules and enforce them. A lot of dads are afraid of their kids. A lot of parents are afraid of their kids. You say, man, how can... And see, you're still, in your mind, you're still dealing with 3- and 4- and 6-year-olds. Wait till they get to be 14, 17, and 18. Don't be afraid of them. You're the authority. You rule with wisdom. How about a husband? Every husband needs wisdom to rule his marriage correctly. You say, man, that's a strong word, rule his marriage. Well, I read this morning in my devotions in Genesis chapter 3. That when God passed out the curses, He told the woman, your desire will be to your husband, and he shall rule over thee. I don't buy into the every man who wants to rule his marriage as a chauvinist pig. I don't buy into that conventional wisdom. That's a liberal, ungodly, unbiblical mentality. And the common message in commercials and everything else in our society tries to make every one of us men in this room feel guilty because we want to be the leader in our marriages. That's how God made it. I will not kowtow to that. And buddy, you've heard me talk about that before. Just listen to the commercials on the radio. See who the goof-off is. See who the goon is. The goon is always the man. The sharp, on-the-stick man headed somewhere is always the lady. I'm not demeaning. My wife has a bucket load of common sense. She's got more common sense than I do. She does. But she's not the leader. I'm the leader. And I'm not a chauvinist pig because I take that position. God made me to be the leader in that relationship. Fellas, you believe that? Amen. It's all right. See, what did you say? There are certain areas where your wife should have authority to rule. It's when and what you eat. Oh, man. So anyway, but I'm going to tell you something, fellas. Oh, I should read. I'll read that tonight. Man, I got the funniest thing in the mail from Bob Zucas. It's a funny story. I'll read that tonight. And we start church tonight. It takes wisdom to run your marriage. It takes wisdom. And the Bible even tells us in 1 Peter 3, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Wisdom, learn. Okay? So it takes wisdom. If I'm going to be the proper authority in my marriage, I've got to have any man in any kind of supervisory position at work. Some of you guys have been in those positions, you're now in those positions. It takes wisdom. Learn how to work with employees, okay? Authority without wisdom is dangerous. Usually ends up being ineffective. This new guy just elected to the head spot down in Bolivia. And I saw in the Chicago Tribune where his first, he's not even taken office yet, but he's voted in. He's the next whatever they have down there, president or prime minister, whatever it is in Bolivia. He's on his first trip. He's in Cuba, hobnobbing with Fidel Castro. And he says he's going to be America's worst nightmare in South America. That's what his promise was, in Central America. South America. Be America's worst nightmare in South America. Here you got an authority. It's an absolute idiot without wisdom. But that country's in for trouble. Same thing with Venezuela right now. Chavez, whatever his name is, hobnobbing up with Fidel Castro. See, and they made all their speeches recently. Anti-U.S. Everything the U.S. wants to do, anti-U.S. I'm not saying everything we do is right. But that's kind of a foolish... On what reasoning are you basing all this? Okay? Authority without wisdom is dangerous. Usually ends up being ineffective. or dictatorial. Do you know if you rule with wisdom, you don't have to be a dictator? You don't have to be a dictator to your wife. You don't have to be a dictator to your husband. If you rule with wisdom, dictator to your wife. You don't have to be a dictator to your children. There it is. Not your husband. You don't have to be. If you rule with wisdom. By the way, the person that's penning this here is the man that embodies what we're talking about. Because Solomon feared this very thing. He said, God, when God said you can have anything you want, he said, I want wisdom. Why do you want wisdom? So I can lead your people. So I can do what's best for your people. Because leadership, authority, must be accompanied by wisdom. By me, kings reign. Okay? Must be accompanied by wisdom. Don't have time to start number 26. So I'm not going to start it. I know it's about 4 minutes for the end of class, but I'm not going to start number 26 because we won't finish it today. All right, that's 25 out of 100. Moving along. So when we get done, when will we be done? When we get done. Amen? And I don't think they overlap a whole lot right now. They may in the future a little bit, but not right now. All right. Be careful about going down this way. They're still having their class down there. Okay.